We're big into conflict management, recognizing what are our core drivers, why do we react and feel the way we do, appreciation for those different core values, and don't take it personally if this is how I handle conflict. Just help me understand why it is you handle it the way you do, and I'll kind of do the same thing for you so that we can keep it at a win-win level of communication.
You're listening to Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. On each episode, we sit down with key industry experts to discover more about what's happening in the world of learning and development, from current trends and insights to the most valuable lessons learned along the way. Join us for a fresh perspective on all things training and the best direction forward. Here's your host, Leanne Lankford.
Hi, welcome to Learning Leader Spotlight, the podcast where we interview the learning leaders of today to help the learning leaders of tomorrow. I'm Leanne Lankford. I'm the president of Training Pros. Training Pros is an L&D contract staffing company. We like to say, when you have more projects than people, let us find the right consultant to start your project with confidence. Today, I'm really pleased to have as my guest, Paul Holbach. Paul is the Senior Director of OD and Training at AAF International. Welcome.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thanks.
We're thrilled to have you. Let's just jump right in. So, Paul, can you tell our audience 60-second overview of who you are and what you do?
Sure. I am the Senior Manager of Organizational Development and Training for the Filtration Division of the world's largest HVAC company. We are a lean team that is responsible for all aspects of training for the filtration division of Daikin International.
That's a lot of responsibility there. A lean team says to me that you guys do a lot of work yourselves.
Yes, we have three people, myself, training program manager, and my LMS administrator and instructional designer. So yeah, we're many hats by three people.
Many hats, absolutely. Well, what first attracted you to the field of learning and development?
Great question. I was working for Amoco Oil back in the 90s, is learning the business running convenience stores. We were getting ready to roll out a new point of sale system, and I was tagged to be the trainer for the Chicagoland area. And I really enjoyed getting to interact with the different types of employees, teaching them a new skill, helping them problem solve. You know, we had individuals that had never used a computer before. We had them rolling the mouse across the screen because they didn't realize it was on the counter. And that was kind of my first interaction with training and development. And as my career progressed, the opportunity came to run their franchise school and was told by a couple of people, hey, think you'd be a good fit, and applied for the job, did it. And it was like, yeah, this is where I want to be. And that's kind of where I've stayed ever since. It's been a great opportunity for me.
That's a great story. I hear that a lot, where you just have an opportunity to do some training and you decide you want to keep doing that all the time. So you've been in L&D for a while.
Yes.
What are the biggest changes you've seen in the last 5 years?
I think technology's been just the catalyst for a lot of this. I think back to 30 years ago, it was all paper pencils, the three-ring binder, and lug those around. And now it's literally whatever you can get to on your phone. It's accessing videos from a QR code. It's wearable technology. I think it's been amazing how it has accelerated and challenged departments like mine, because it's never the same thing for a long period of time. So if you're not adaptable and, you know, willing to learn more as a training professional, you're kind of caught behind the curve. So it's exciting to see what is happening. And then you throw in the whole AI and what that capability will be in the coming years. We're at a peak of technology just taking off with what our potential for is to getting to reaching people at various levels of their career and where they're at geographically as well.
So those are some good observations. And I completely agree with you that it just is changing so rapidly that if you're not able to adapt quickly, you're going to be left behind. I actually was in L&D those 30 years ago. You know, we had like the overhead projector with a transparency on. That was our multimedia. it's really come a long way since then. Where do you see L&D heading in the next 5 years?
You have the technology changes that are going to be on the forefront, but then you also have the whole lack of employees, the skills challenge, the getting people to come across your door and say, hey, I want to work for you. So I think it's going to have to be, how do we reach the generations that are working together, their different needs, their different experiences? And again, it's being that adaptable, agile type department, because as things change and people start to retire, and we see it in manufacturing, which I'm in, you've got a lot of tribal knowledge in people's heads. And, you know, it's not easy to just pull that out of their brain. You either have to get them off the floor and sit down and interview them, get them to talk to you, or it's physically standing behind them and either recording what they're doing or writing down what they're doing. So I think it's going to be a challenge to adapt to the workforce changes that are coming and the different needs that we have with the different generations and what they expect out of technology and what companies are willing to do in terms of investing in technology as well.
Those are good observations. And I assume that you're having to deal with 4 generations in your workforce right now.
Yep.
What kind of adaptations has your department had to make, or have you seen people make in other companies?
We're big into conflict management, recognizing what are our core drivers? Why do we react and feel the way we do? Appreciation for those different core values. And don't take it personally if this is how I handle conflict. Just help me understand why it is you handle it the way you do. Help, and I'll kind of do the same thing for you so that we can keep it at a win-win level of communication. I think many times it's easy to just go, no, this is who I am, and dig in, versus a understanding and an appreciation for what the other person has experienced, what they're trying to get out of the situation, or just why they react the way they do because of things that have happened to them in life, or just the environment they grew up in or have lived in. I think that's the biggest one.
I couldn't agree more. So I have 2 Gen Z children. And I find myself, I try to adapt to their lifetime experiences and the way they view the world. But I find myself once in a while sitting down saying, okay, you need to realize that people my age grew up in a completely different environment. And we have different values and different beliefs and different drivers. You need to recognize that we didn't grow up like you did. And so you have to try to take a step out of your experience to understand the other person's experience.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a lesson for them as they enter corporate America.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears for a minute. Can you talk about who is your most influential mentor you've had in your career?
I think I've had a couple. Probably the biggest one was my boss back at the Amoco BP. He was one of those strategic thinkers, and he would give the team, here's where we need to go. Here's why we need to get there. Here's what the expectations are from the business. And then give that to the team and say, okay, where do you think, how are we going to get there? What are the materials? What are the resources? Do we need extra help? Help us, help me understand what you need so I can get that for you. And then he'd let us run with it, but he was also very good with, hey, I'm struggling with this, having that one-on-one conversation with him. And he would be very frank with, all right, here's what I see. Maybe that you're struggling to understand, or you lack this experience or this understanding, go talk to this person, or I'll send you here to kind of give you that a little bit of taste of that experience to help you understand a little bit more of what you need. So he was very good at giving me the opportunities I need, but also being honest with me. He was funny because when I left his department, he said, okay, I'm going to let you go, but you can't come back. You've done your time here. You've learned what you needed to learn, obviously, and that's why you want to go out. But he was always there for a resource to come back to. What's funny is I've been gone from there for over 20 years, and he still contacts me every so often, picks my brain about things, or is, hey, what are you doing? How are you growing? What have you learned? He taught me to take 2 or 3 things away from every job I had that I can use in the next one and just keep kind of layering my knowledge and experience to enhance what I'm doing today.
That's a great story. I love that you guys are still in contact and that he's now coming to you for some answers as well.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
This episode is brought to you by Training Pros, the award-winning contract staffing agency that works exclusively with learning and development professionals to match the right consultants to client projects. If you're in corporate L&D and have more projects than people, let the industry practitioners at Training Pros provide you with the right L&D consultant to start your project with confidence. Find out how we make finding quality consultants easy by scheduling a consultation at www.trainingpros.com.
Can you share with our audience, so you're not doing a lot, you have a smaller department, so you're not hiring huge numbers of people, but what kind of skill do you look for these days when you're looking?
To hire for my own?
For your own department, yeah. What skill is there that you're trying to uncover in people or you maybe is harder to find?
Troubleshooting, I think that's a big one. And then critical thinking, because if there's only two or three of us, we have to be able to be pretty good at looking at the situation, analyzing what's there, asking the questions, what does the client or the customer need out of the situation? Or, you know, if I'm in a classroom with a group of frontline leaders, asking them the questions to get them to be prompt about what it is it that they're lacking, or getting them to be reflective. Because I think a lot of times we look at a situation and, you know, we don't think about, okay, what do I need to do to make it better? It's more of a, so I find in manufacturing, it's a gut reaction versus a, okay, let's think about this. Let's analyze how's the other person going to receive what I'm trying to say, or do they understand what we're trying to accomplish here other than me just telling them, go do this. So someone who can think in a big picture way, so to speak. The other thing is not afraid to try new things, because if you're the type of person who's very regimented and only likes to stay in one lane, you're not going to be very happy or successful in a role that requires you to wear many hats. So I look for people who have different levels of experience, have worked for maybe different types of companies, because that diversity of what they've experienced in the past is good for them to come in and go, well, you know, I see you're doing this and I understand why. Have you ever thought of it doing it this way? Or in the past, when there's been a similar situation, we've looked at doing it this way or that way. Do you think that would work? Because I think so many times we only see that one direction and don't understand that there's multiple ways to go at it or to coin it for it, you know, though more than one way to skin a cat, so to speak.
Yes. I understand a lot of what you're talking about. I'm in a smaller company. And if you come into our company expecting to just do A and somebody else does everything else, no, you have to almost do everything for yourself in your role. I mean, there's definitely people who do these other jobs, but you're not going to get all of the different support levels you will right. In a larger company where you don't have to do everything yourself. So I completely understand that one. Where do you get your industry news and information?
A variety of places. Training industry type information, I get it from local business periodicals. I live outside of Louisville, so Louisville Business First. It is, and there's a number of those in the different cities in that. And I see it valuable because it looks at not only the businesses, but it looks at the workforce piece. It looks at the HR piece. It looks at the leadership piece. Couple different subject matter experts. I follow John Gordon. I follow John Maxwell from kind of the leadership pieces. I also look at what's coming out of the studies from like Kinsey, those types of thought leaders, the consulting groups, because they're all getting a different slice of the pie. They're all looking at things from a different perspective. Sometimes you get overlapping studies, but other times you get ones that are a little bit contrary. So you got to wonder, okay, where's the truth? Or are they looking at different slices of America or the country or globally? So I don't like to go just one way. I like to get a broad kind of a smorgasbord and then decide what's useful, what's not. I share things with my boss. I share things with other lateral leaders, because to me, if I find it interesting and they're not subscribing to this particular email blast. They may find this interesting because if I saw a connection for them, possibly they're going to see it as well. And then I look at other divisions of our company that are doing different things, because training is not original thought. A lot of times it's, hey, what are you doing that we could borrow or just change a little bit so it fits our business model or our type of employees? So yeah, as many resources as I can get. I typically spend about a half hour every morning just going through that in email.
It can definitely take a lot of time. And so people get really targeted on where they're going to look and what they're not going to look at.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this last question, this is where I get my reading list.
Okay.
What is one book you would recommend to anyone wanting to be an L&D leader?
I went back to Peter Senge's, the title eludes me right now, but it's 25 years old and it's, you know, to me, it was how the organization needs to be, what we need to look for. And then currently I'm reading, I've got it right here in front of me, called Why It Matters. It's a great book on who am I? Why do I do the things I do? And it's a great book in terms of self-reflection and what are my values? You know, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? And how do I look at my strengths as a way to take me where I want to go on the next level? So by being aware of what my weaknesses are, I can either overcome them or do something different so that it doesn't become a weakness anymore. It becomes maybe a potential strength. It's all people. So the more we understand each other, I think the better we can be as a L&D professional.
It is all about the people. You join L&D because it is about the people. I love that book suggestion. It's one I haven't read yet. So it'll be going on my list to get to. About half the time people recommend something that I've already read. So I'm like, what if I don't have to read that one again? But you have provided a lot of really great insights here on our podcast today. As my thank you to you, I would like to plant 5 trees in your name.
Okay.
We're going to plant 5 trees on the Monarch Restoration Project. What we're doing is the reforestation company we work with is planting trees to help encourage monarch migration and help increase the population. I'll send you a certificate after the show. And that's the charity from Training Pros. We do that. We've planted 4,000 trees to date. And that's it for this episode of Learning Leader Spotlight. Thank you so much, Paul, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This has been a thrill for me as well. Thank you.
That's great. Tune in next week for the next episode.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of Learning Leader Spotlight, interviews with corporate L&D leaders. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned on today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode and leave us a 5-star review.